I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Akosua Ayamwa. In the headlines, Kenya Japan sent to International Criminal Court. Coalition of Development of Ghanaians wants biometric registration extended. Payment of 2012 single spine salary increase to be effected next month. New municipal chief executive for Aguna West. Fetish priest sentenced to death by hanging. Verdict in Charles Taylor's trial to be given today, and Pakistani Prime Minister convicted for contempt of court.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The Ghana Coalition for the International Criminal Court, ICC, has petitioned the court to investigate the genocidal statements and ethnic cleansing pronouncements by the NP for Asin North, Kennedy Ejiofor. The petition was presented by three members of the coalition, Francis Kujo Arthur, Eric Akomeyi, and Fortune Sase. In a remark at the presentation, Mr. Arthur, who is the legal officer of the coalition, said the petition was presented in pursuant to Article 15 of the Rome Statute of the ICC. He said in doing so, the Ghana Coalition for the ICC believes firmly in the view expressed by the court on January 24 this year that it's better to avert future acts of genocide and violence. According to the coalition, events in Ghana since 2009 gives cause to believe that politicians, especially within the opposition NPP, are plotting to unleash violence, war, genocide, and ethnic cleansing either prior to or in the event that they lose the December polls. The National Democratic Congress, NDC, has held a news conference in Accra on recent political disturbances with regards to the biometric voter registration. The conference, addressed by the General Secretary of the party, Johnson Asiedu Nketia, raised issues concerning the MP for Asin North, Kennedy Ejiofor's alleged hate speech. According to the NDC, the NPP is only looking for triggers from the biometric voters registration to cause confusion during the December elections. Linda Goji was at the news conference and filed this report.
The news conference raised issues on the growing ethnic politics and violence being perpetrated by some politicians, especially the NPP Kennedy Ejiofor's alleged reckless comments, as well as the recent biometric registration controversies at Ododo-Odo constituency. The General Secretary of the party, Johnson Esiedu Nketia, said the NPP's campaign approach towards this year's elections, if not checked, can only bring chaos. He said Kennedy Ejiofor and Oslo Usu's issues are calculated by the opposition party to trigger tension and tarnish the whole biometric voter registration.
We have watched with keen interest developments on the political scene over the past 1 month with deep concern, and we are compelled to comment on some of the issues that featured prominently. The point being made is that Kennedy Ejiofor's latest statement should not be seen as a single isolated incident, but must be seen rather as another stage in the planning and implementation of an orchestrated and well-rehearsed agenda of the NPP to throw this nation into chaos as a result of their inordinate ambition for power. The NPP, both in theory and in practice, has not weaned itself of this canker of ethnicity.
Mr. Nketia described as appalling the way religious groups and other civil society organizations are handling the issues. He also blamed the media for instigating and deepening political conflict in the country.
The NDP is dismayed by the attempt by some religious leaders and civil society groups to subtly justify Kennedy Ejiofor's declaration of war by linking it with whatever incident that took place. If the admonition is clear and unambiguous, then the person will know that what he's doing is not in the interest of the country, and that the religious and civil society groups do not approve of it. I don't think that the politicians and the media are being fed to Ghana. Media work that is not done well can generate more confusion among politicians than the conduct of any single politician. We demand accurate reportage from the media.
The NDC promised that the party will do all it can to collaborate with the EC to ensure a free, fair and transparent elections.
Linda Gudi. The Coalition for the Development of Ghanaians has appealed to the Electoral Commission to reconsider its decision not to extend the biometric registration. It says the process should be extended by at least a minimum of 5 days in constituencies that frequently experience breakdown of biometric kits. The appeal was contained in a statement signed by the Executive Director, A.J. Kwame Williams, in Accra. We bring you the details.
According to the statement, all well-meaning civil society groups are disturbed by the pockets of violence that has characterized the biometric registration. It said CODGA has been monitoring the process with very keen interest from the day it took off and cannot help but bring to the fore its observations and recommendations on the exercise. The statement said the exercise, which had entered its fourth phase, cannot be described as having been successful, let alone say the process would be able to capture every eligible voter who presented him or herself at a center and satisfy clauses in the Constitution. CODGA said the exercise started with pockets of violence in some polling centers and sometimes in the whole constituency, thereby distracting the process and consequently preventing applicants from presenting themselves for registration. It said per its observations in some constituencies, it became evident that some polling stations did not operate for more than 2 days and in some instances for about 4 days. Among some of the flimsy excuses that were given included the shortage of ink cartridges, breakdown of printers and scanners, and sometimes absenteeism on the part of EC officials. The statement said the EC was supposed to educate the people on the electoral process and its purpose. However, prior to the commencement of the exercise, very little education took place nationwide, not to talk of educating applicants in an electoral area as to which center the registration team would be moving to in each cluster, hence the consequent misunderstandings that characterized the first, second and third phases of the exercise. CODGA therefore called on the EC to put in place the necessary measures that would help prevent some of these pockets of violence that came about as a result of adequate information that were not made available to applicants as well as the public. The statement appealed to leaders on both sides of the political divide to exercise restraint with respect to inflammatory comments that might throw the country into a state of pandemonium.
A news desk report. Unilever Ghana Limited has donated detergents worth 50,000 Ghana cedis to the Electoral Commission. This is to make it easier for the fingerprints of applicants to be captured by the fingerprint scanner. Speaking at the donation ceremony in Accra, the corporate relations manager of Unilever Ghana Limited, Bernice Natui, said the soap being used in the third and fourth phases of the biometric registration will help clean at least 500,000 hands. Ndanyam and Mary Yenchi, her father's report.
Ms. Bernice Natui said the donation is in line with Unilever's hand washing campaign, which the organization is undertaking in schools across the country. She said that the washing of hands will make it easier for the scanners to pick the fingerprints of applicants in the ongoing biometric registration, adding that it has been proven scientifically that the simple act of hand washing reduces the risk of diarrhea by 44%.
Research has proven that the simple act of washing your hands with soap and water regularly would reduce the risk of diarrhea by 44%. It is an inexpensive way of preventing diarrhea. 500,000 hands would have been cleaned and would have prevented the spreading of the germ that causes cholera even further. And would also have enhanced the EC's work by getting the fingerprints properly so we avoid all the troubles that unfortunately we are seeing now.
The Deputy Chairman of the Operations of the Electoral Commission, Kwajistafo Kantanka, who received the items on behalf of the Electoral Commission, said the donation will save a lot of people from not registering due to the difficulty in capturing their fingerprints. He commended Unilever Ghana Limited for the effort.
A report by Linda Nyam and Mary Uinchi. A lecturer at the Law Faculty of the University of Ghana, Dr. Raymond Atuguba, says there's been a remarkable improvement in the performance of the police service. Nevertheless, there's the need for the service to be insulated from executive influence. Speaking on Behind the News, Dr. Atuguba says since this year is an election year, mechanisms must be put in place to ensure that the police do not yield to pressure. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
Ghana police have come a very long way in the last 10 years. Now, there are still outstanding matters for the Ghana Police Service, but on the whole, we have shown remarkable maturity and remarkable improvement in their function. My concern is that if we are not careful, we might push the police too hard at this point, and they might get to the point where they will compromise on the sequencing of the reform and on the calibration of the reform. The reforms must be properly sequenced. If you don't sequence them properly, you will not have the domino effect, you will not have the ripple effect that you need. And the reforms must also be calibrated properly. So we know we are in an election year, but given that the police reforms are going so well, we should hesitate to push them hard in order to bend the rules in an election year and destroy all the gains that they have chalked in the last 10 years.
Some people have called for the insulation of the police service from executive influence. Would that be possible?
Yes. It is possible to insulate the police to some degree from executive influence, but that type of reform comes later in time than the reforms that are currently taking place. So your question has actually exemplified what I am trying to talk about. Executive influence on the police is a reform initiative that must take place, but it must be positioned after other reforms that are happening right now. If you move the further along reform initiative backward, you will destroy the calibration and you will destroy the sequencing and you will not have the effect that you need to have.
Commenting on the way the police have handled the incidences that have characterized the biometric registration, Dr. Atuguba said they could have done better, but was quick to add that media reportage in recent times also calls for some monitoring.
The police could have handled the incident much better. From the reports I'm getting in the media, there were some assault cases, there were some instances when the police acted a little high-handedly. That is supposed to be condemned, and the police must immediately take steps to redress those situations and act more professionally and with better temperament. Remember that the registration exercise has been over-politicized, and that has put pressure on the police. So acting under pressure, they would have made some mistakes.
So what can the police do to maintain that professionalism you are talking about?
Right now, the police has already instituted mechanisms for ensuring professionalism. Those are part of the reform. What I'm saying is that 10 years down the line, we should be congratulating the police for getting down from their high-handedness, submitting to learn how to reform itself to be better, and submitting to service the citizens.
Doc, there are certain cases that political parties are exerting pressure on the police to do their bidding. How do we move away from that?
You mentioned this yourself, that ultimately we have to institute mechanisms that insulate the police in their functioning from the exertions of authority and power from external sources, including politicians in power and politicians waiting to get power.
Doc, the media have also come under the spotlight for not helping matters with the issue of criticism of the police. How should the media handle such criticism?
There are three institutions we need to watch in this country. We need to watch the police, we need to watch the judiciary, and we need to watch the media. These three institutions can make or unmake our democracy, and we have to be careful with the way in which we monitor them. We must submit to monitoring, and the citizens must constantly monitor them. The media has been getting out of hand of late. The reportage is distorted. What people say is misrepresented in the media. What they do not say, they are said to have said. What they have said is not played back. There are many times that I've called radio stations off air and told them of instances when they either misrepresented people or distorted what they have said or refused to play portions of the statement and have left what was said looking bad on somebody else. Now, if you carry this type of attitude into an election year, you could set the country on fire.
A lecturer at the law faculty of the University of Ghana, Dr. Raymond Atuguba, in that interview with Agatha Samuel. President Mills has nominated Samuel Opong as Aguna West Municipal Chief Executive to replace E.K. Tete, whose appointment has been revoked with immediate effect. A statement signed in Accra by the Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Elvis Efie Ankra, said the outgoing MCE is requested to properly hand over to the Central Regional Minister, who would exercise oversight responsibility over the municipality. The Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning has announced that payment of the 2012 single spine salary increase of 18% would commence next month. In addition, the 2012 salary arrears for April would be paid in July, whilst all other earlier payment schedules relating to the 2012 single spine salaries remain the same. This is contained in a statement issued by the ministry and copied to the GNA in Accra. It said owing to the rather short time span between the completion of the 2012 single spine salary negotiation and the minimum period required for the Controller and Accountant General's Department to input and process April salaries, it has not been possible to commence the payment of the 2012 base pay increment of 18% in April as originally scheduled. According to the statement, consequently, the implementation of the 2012 single spine salary structure would be rescheduled. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Kenneth Japon sent to International Criminal Court. Coalition of Development of Ghanaians wants biometric registration extended. Payment of 2012 single spine salary increase to be effected next month. New Municipal Chief Executive for Aguna West. Fetish priest sentenced to death by hanging. Verdict in Charles Taylor's trial to be given today, and Pakistani Prime Minister convicted for contempt of court.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
A pharmacist at the police hospital, Ellen Sam, has advised patients to strictly adhere to the three-day course artemisinin-based combination therapy acts treatment for malaria. They're also to avoid going for monotherapies such as chloroquine for the treatment of the disease. Speaking at a forum in Accra to mark this year's World Malaria Day, Mrs. Sam explained that malaria is a life-threatening disease and the need for the combined therapy to flush it entirely from the human system. The forum was organized by the African Media and Malaria Research Network, AMREM, a network of journalists and scientists with support from in-depth network effectiveness and safety studies in it. Baba Utu has the details.
This year's World Malaria Day is focused on sustained gains, save lives, invest in malaria. Mrs. Sam said even though some progress has been made in reducing malaria deaths, especially in Africa, there is the need to sustain these gains in order to eradicate the disease entirely from the continent. She explained the rationale for adopting ACTs for the treatment of malaria.
Formerly we were doing monotherapy, and when we say monotherapy, we are using single drugs for malaria. And chloroquine was very popular. It was very cheap. It was tolerable. It's been an old drug. And then we also had amodiaquine. So we're using single drugs. Then because of resistance, when we talk about resistance, perhaps in lay language, the parasites have become too grown that if you knock them with only one drug, they won't bite. You need to give them two knocks to be able to go. So we started using combination therapy. In other words, we're no longer using single therapy. We're using two drugs. Artemisinin is just a herb from the tree Artemisia annua. And this has been used in China for more than 1,000 years to cure fever. ACTs are made of two drugs. So that's how come we have things like, I'm sure you'll be hearing, artesunate, amodiaquine, artemisia lumefantrine, dihydroartemisinin, piperaquine. So now you just can't use any combination at all. You need a combination that has to have artemisinin inside. It is currently considered the world's best treatment for malaria. And it's one of the few treatments that is active against the most serious life-threatening form of the parasite, that's Plasmodium falciparum. That is the most dangerous of the species. And about 95% of our malaria is caused by that.
That was Baba Otu's report. A computer-based technology for theory driving test and a manual for basic driving training has been launched in Accra. The scheme is the first in the sub-region and second after South Africa. The Minister for Transport, Alhaji Collins Dauda, says the scheme will raise the standard of driving schools in the country. Here's a report by Sandra Danso.
The computer-based technology CBT for theory driving test and manual for basic driving lessons has been introduced by the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Authority, DVLA, in partnership with Fleet Technologies Limited, an IT company. Alhaji Collins Dauda observed that fraud, impersonation and leakage of questions are some of the problems associated with manual administration of written theory tests. He said with the new system, these problems will be controlled. Alhaji Dauda added that the CBT will also help to produce quality drivers who will ensure safety on the road. He advised that while the DVLA is trying to reduce the carnage on the road, it is important for the authority to also inculcate good attitude in the drivers to enable them to drive safely. The chief executive of the DVLA, Justice Amedashi, explained how the computer-based technology works.
Computer-based driving theory test is eventually going to replace manual driving test, whereby the applicant will sit by a PC and then will accept a PC and a mouse. And then when you pay for use of the system, a card tag is going to be given to you. The card tag will give you the date or the service time. Then the center is there. When you go to the center, they will log in. You have 30 questions to answer. Within 40 minutes, your results will come out upon completion of the lesson. So it's transparent. There is a minimal human interference, apart from, let's say, the supervisor, ensuring that you, whose picture appears on the screen, is the person who is sitting in front of the system, a PC.
Mr. Megashi said the change is about safety, and it will also go a long way to create employment for the people who will teach the drivers to use the computer.
Sandra Danso reporting. Sunola Sogli Power Ghana Limited will soon start work on a $360 million power plant, which will take about 1 year to complete. On completion, the company's supply will increase 200 megawatts to 560 megawatts. The chairman of the company, Li Zhonghai, said this when the acting managing director of the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, and some officials of ECG paid a working visit to the company. Togui has further commended the ECG for its cooperation and support and said without the collaboration, the first phase of the project, which was completed in 2008, could not have come to fruition. The managing director of ECG, William Hatton Mensah, said Sunola Sogli's important role in the energy sector could not be overemphasized and expressed the hope the mutual and cordial relationships between the two companies would be further strengthened in the years ahead. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nilaye Afuteagbu, has asked MMDAs to put in place mechanisms to curtail leakages in revenue collection, as he said is a main hindrance to development in the districts, noting that it is not uncommon these days to find revenue collectors engaging in either under-invoicing or over-invoicing. Mr. Afuteagbu made this remark when he addressed members of the Gawes Municipal Assembly in Accra. Now, Jackley Agu reports.
Mr. Afuteagbu said the development challenges of the assembly's demands that the MMDAs mobilize adequate revenue from local sources to complement the efforts of government. This, he explained, will relieve the assemblies of relying solely on the district assembly's common fund and donor agencies for their development programs. The minister said all perpetrators of such negative acts, like pilfering and naked stealing of revenue, should be brought to book to serve as a deterrent to others. He urged all assembly members to bury their differences and work hard to achieve the common goal of ensuring development in their electoral areas.
It is crucial for us to remember that the destiny of our people lies in the collective hands of all of us. Our people are looking forward to us to provide them with leadership and direction required for poverty alleviation and wealth creation. Let us bury our petty differences and think more about the larger community that we have been appointed and elected to serve. Educate your people on the need for them to register to empower them to exercise their franchise in November. However, urging them to register should not only be our responsibility as opinion leaders, it is also important for us to speak with thought do it and after the election.
The municipal chief executive of Ganwet, Niyama Taki, expressed worry about the spate of indiscipline on the main Amasaman road. He said some drivers turn at wrong places and overspeed as well. He said the police is on the alert and will apprehend anybody found culpable. Mr. Taki appealed to residents in the municipality to be security conscious and report any activity that could affect the peace and security of the area.
Najagli Agos report. The coordinator of Amnesty International, James Welch, is asking government to improve infrastructure and reduce overcrowding in the various prisons in Ghana to meet international standards. Speaking at the launch of the Ghana Prison Research conducted by Amnesty International in Accra, Mr. Welch noted that overcrowding, inadequate infrastructure and sanitation, insufficient food and health problems are major issues facing inmates in prisons in Ghana. He therefore urged government to come out with alternative forms of punishment. Victoria Haji Fowler's report.
According to Mr. Welch, prison overcrowding is acute in some prisons and requires urgent attention by government. He said overcrowding needs to be reduced by wider use of non-custodial sentences such as fines and community services. Mr. Walsh also suggested that all remand prisoners should have a prompt and fair hearing.
The prisons we visited were generally old buildings from the colonial era, usually run down in need of refurbishments or expansion or replacement. In fact, we went to some prisons where there were four prisoners for each space where there was meant to be only one prisoner. This is serious overcrowding. We believe that all remand prisoners should have a prompt, fair hearing, and that in continuing imprisonment of remand prisoners who've already served an equivalent sentence to what they might receive for their crime, those prisoners should be released.
On the issue of health, Mr. Walsh noted that the infirmaries are very small and staffed by nurses and medical assistants who have an important workload with limited medication and equipment. This issue, he said, needs serious attention. The director of Amnesty International Ghana, Lawrence Amisu, said the report forms part of a research on criminal justice worldwide. He said the research findings will be useful to Ghana and the prison services in their efforts to improve conditions in the various prisons.
This research is not meant to find fault, embarrass or attack anyone. Amnesty International's work is always meant to complement the development efforts of every country, and we believe that our findings and recommendations will be useful for the government of Ghana and the authorities of the Ghana Prison Service in their efforts to improve on the conditions in our prisons in this country.
He expressed the need for everybody to be concerned about the situation in the prisons.
A report by Victoria Haji. Three suspected robbers were yesterday sentenced to 20 years in prison each by the Circuit Court in Accra. Ruja Agbadi, a porter, Cosmos Odate Lamti, a steel bender, and George Owusu-Bempa, an electrician, were tried for conspiracy and robbery. A fourth suspect, James Kwesi Kumasi, a houseboy of a household robbery, was convicted last year on his own plea and sentenced to 15 years by the court for not wasting that court's time and resource and being truthful. The convicts were involved in a robbery on March 2010, during which they stole a Toyota Camry, mobile phones and laptops belonging to Aku Lindsay Orleans of East Legon. Items retrieved from the robbers included a toy pistol, a hammer, spanner, chisel, plier, screwdriver and a kitchen knife. Justice Eric J. Bafu, who pronounced judgment, said the court found the convicts guilty of the charges against them as the prosecution proved beyond reasonable doubt their guilt. A 37-year-old fetish priest, Joseph Tete, has been sentenced to death by hanging after he was found guilty of murdering a 30-year-old trader, Rita Barr, at Okra Senior Kofodia. Was sentenced by Kofodia High Court after being found guilty by a 7-member jury presided over by Justice Simon Suribare for murdering Rita at his shrine on the 15th of November 2009. As State Attorney Apene Moti told the court that Rita was 25 at the time of her death under trader. The former president of Liberia, Charles Taylor, is due to appear in a war crimes court at The Hague to learn his fate at the end of a 4-year trial and begin a journey that may end in a British prison cell. The first African head of state to be brought before an international tribunal will be in the dock at the Special Court for Sierra Leone to hear verdicts read out by the judicial panel on 11 charges, including recruitment of child soldiers and looting conflict diamonds. We bring you a write-up on the man, Charles Taylor.
Born on the 28th of January 1948, Charles MacArthur Ganke Taylor was the 22nd president of Liberia, serving from August 1997 until his resignation in August 2003. Taylor earned a degree at Bentley College in the United States before returning to Liberia to work in the government of Samuel Doe. After being removed for embezzlement, he eventually arrived in Libya, where he was trained as a guerrilla fighter. He returned to Liberia in 1989 as the head of a Libyan-backed group, the National Patriotic Front of Liberia, to overthrow the Doe regime, initiating the first Liberian civil war. Following Doe's execution, Taylor gained control of the country and became one of the prominent warlords in Africa. Following a peace deal that ended the war, Charles Taylor was elected president in a general election. During his term of office, Taylor was accused of war crimes and crimes against humanity as a result of his involvement in the Sierra Leone Civil War. Domestically, opposition to his regime grew, resulting in the outbreak of the Second Liberian War in 1999. By 2003, he had lost much control of the countryside and was formally indicted by the Special Court for Sierra Leone. That year, he resigned as a result of growing international pressure and went into exile in Nigeria. In 2006, the newly elected president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, formally requested his extradition. Upon his arrival in Monrovia, he was transferred to the custody of the mission in Liberia and immediately flown to Sierra Leone. Charles Taylor is currently being held in the UN detention unit on the premises of the penitentiary institution Haaglanden in The Hague, where he has been on trial before the Special Court for Sierra Leone for his role in the civil war.
A write-up on the former president of Liberia, Charles Taylor. Now to end the news, the main points again. The Ghana Coalition for the International Criminal Court has petitioned the court to investigate the genocidal statements and ethnic cleansing pronouncements by the MP for Assin-North Kennedy Ejiofor. The Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning has announced that payment of the 2012 single spine salary increase of 18% would commence next month. And verdict in the former president of Liberia, Charles Taylor's trial is to be given today. The news was presented by Akosua Yamwa in Accra.